My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Well, Happy New Year. This is the first Sunday of the liturgical year. Always begins with Advent. And Advent means coming. So these four Sundays before Christmas are a time of waiting for our Savior to come. And as I said to the children, both as the child born in Bethlehem, but also as our God and King who will come at the end of time to complete his kingdom among us. So Advent is a time of waiting, and waiting patiently, which our technological culture is not very good at. On this first Sunday of Advent, we are generally warned to stay awake, stay alert, to watch for the coming of the Son of Man. Well, I bought a new lamp last week, finally read all the directions last night, and used it this morning. It's called a wake-up light. I don't know if you've ever heard of these, but it simulates the sunrise. You set it to a certain, you know, the time you want to get up, and a half an hour before, the light starts to come up. So it's kind of like the dawn starting up, and then it worked. It woke me up to start to see the light, where otherwise, if I have to get up at the dark, I have a really hard time. I have something called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, and so I really need the sunlight. Hopefully, it will help me to get up in the morning. And in the same way, in this dark time of the year, we have our Advent wreath that gradually, you know, there's more and more light each week. And so it reminds us to stay awake, to not fall asleep, because our Lord can come at any moment. Well, I thought we would try something new today, and it might keep you awake as well. I have a little refrain that I'd like you to say at certain times during the sermon today, okay? And the refrain is, "Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Ready? Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Okay, and I'll help you out at certain times. That verse, "Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord," was the last verse of our first reading this morning from Isaiah. And it reminds us of what we are to be about during this season of Advent. Well, every year, the gospel reading for the first Sunday of Advent is set in Jerusalem after Jesus has left the temple, predicting that the temple's destruction will soon take place. And the disciples then ask him, how and where is this going to happen? Or how and when, rather, is this going to happen? But Jesus kind of leapfrogs ahead, and instead of talking about the temple's destruction, he talks about the end of the cosmos, the very end of our world as we know it. Here in Matthew's version of this end time, or theologians say eschatological, that's a big word so that, you know, you're impressed. So at the end of time, that this will be like the great flood of Noah's day, in the sense that it will be unexpected. I mean, who expects a flood in the desert, right? The book of Matthew was written in about 80 AD, and that was about 50 years after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And no doubt after two generations of waiting for Jesus to come, the church became complacent. They went back to doing their old things. Kind of like, yeah, Jesus is coming again, ho-hum. So Matthew's concern is to wake them up and then to ask, how do we live as we wait for Jesus to come again? How do we wait in this in-between time, between the time when Jesus first came as a baby in Bethlehem, and the time when he will bring his reign to completion. How do we live in the in-between times? Let's say, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. When I was a child, these verses and the ones just previous to them scared the daylights out of me. The Left Behind series capitalized on that. It made people turn to Jesus in fear. One must believe, or else. It just seems to me that that's the opposite of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Matthew's goal may be to wake us up a little, and we all know that we need God's judgment now and then to keep us on track. I don't think he means here that we will be eternally left behind. In fact, it gave me comfort as I was reading through this in the Greek to see that the word taken here doesn't mean like taken up or snatched. It means taken with or taken along. So Jesus will take us along with him into his kingdom. So some will be aware of Christ's coming and will be taken along with it. They will be already practicing what God wants. They will be ready. While others will just keep going about their daily business, whether working in a field or having babies or driving a car, they will continue with their same old way of life. And Matthew doesn't want us to be left out of God's wondrous reign. He wants us to be aware of it, breaking into our lives each and every day. How then do we prepare? How do we wait? Well, even now, we can gather for worship to hear God's promises. I'm thrilled with how many people are here today, given the snow, as you come to hear God's love for you. And even now, we can return to our baptisms, dipping a hand in the water and remembering that we have been sealed by the cross of Christ forever. Even now, we can share in the meal of Jesus and be strengthened through it. We leave the table, emboldened by God's mercy and forgiveness, to work for justice and peace, even now. We are encouraged, not terrified of the coming of the Lord. We know that the one who comes to judge the living and the dead is the one who has already claimed us as God's own children. God loves us, and so we look forward to his coming, where all people will be gathered into one, as the first lesson from Isaiah envisions. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Well, you know, Jerusalem, or Zion, in the first lesson, is not much of a mountain. You know, it's not like Kilimanjaro or Mount Everest or Mount Rainier. It's a big hill. Yet, according to the beautiful vision from Isaiah, all peoples will be gathered there at the end of time. Conflicts will be worked out between nations, and they will beat their weapons of war into tools of agriculture. Instead of tearing down, people will build one another up, and there will be war no more. Isn't that what we just long for? Meanwhile, the church is invited to participate in the peace and justice of our God. I read recently about a creative activist named Pedro Reyes in, I'm going to mispronounce this, I'm sure, Culiacan, Mexico. And Culiacan is a city with the highest rate of gun deaths in Mexico. Reyes has collected 1,527 guns for his project called Palas por Pistolas, melting these guns down into 1,527 shovel heads. And then he has added the handle to the shovels, and the shovels are now being used to plant 1,527 trees in the city. Metal used for death is being transformed into metal that promotes life. Can't get much more biblical than that. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Finally, perhaps some of you are familiar with the term woke in the African-American community. It means that one has woken up to systems of social and racial injustice. It comes from the African-American vernacular English expression, stay woke, which refers to a continuing vigilance, a continuing awareness of these issues. And implicit in the concept of being woke is the idea that such awareness must be earned. You have to have experienced some aspect of systemic justice, either social, economic, or racial, in order to be woke. And then you become vigilant and alert, woke to what's happening all around you. Well, at the risk of misappropriating this term, we during the Advent season also need to stay woke. We need to be aware of Christ's presence all around us, to work for the values of his kingdom, including peace, justice, and nonviolence, to be about loving our neighbor in need. As we advocate for these, we will be found ready when the Son of Man comes in all his glory once again. So, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen.